chapter 19. We continue our study from last Sunday. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 11. Thank you. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. And as we shall see, 10 servants, 10 pounds, he gave them one each. Verse 16, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Verse 18, the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou ruler over 5 cities. Verse 20, another came, saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Each one had the same amount. Now, when we read a similar parable in Matthew, he gave 1 10 pounds, 1 5, and 1 1. And in the gifts that God has given, he has given us varying gifts, varying abilities. But what we are concerned about tonight, there are certain things which we all have in common. You have no more than I have. And we considered last Sunday, item number one was time. We all have the same amount of time. What we do with that time is between us and God. And now tonight we want to consider another subject that we all have in common, and that is prayer. All believers are privileged to petition the throne of grace, and all unbelievers are petitioned to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer as their Lord and Savior. Truly, prayer is a democracy, and each one is privileged to share in that democracy. We speak of political equality. Well, in the matter of prayer, there is equality for saved and unsaved. We can all approach the throne of grace. The question is, what is prayer? You remember the story of the little boy? He was asked one morning, Sonny, did you say your prayers last night? He said, no, I did not. And why didn't you say your prayers? I didn't need anything. That is not why we pray. We don't pray because we need something. We pray because we are dependent creatures. God is our master, ruler, and we are dependent upon him. That is why we pray. We are dependent creatures. Now, this matter of prayer is very important when you consider that the word prayer and praise and pray occur 350 times in the whole Bible. Must be important that the Lord would use that one word 350 times throughout the 66 books. And as we consider prayer, the question is, how important is prayer? Luke chapter 18. How important is prayer? Luke chapter 18. And I might say this. I enjoy the way this assembly responds to prayer. on the first Wednesday we meet for prayer, it is so nice to see all the saints and the young people and the children at the prayer meeting. One of the first signs that an individual is straying from the truth is his failure to be at the prayer meeting. Again, I say it's so nice to see all of us on a Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month, and even tonight, engaging in prayer. And I must commend the sisters. They don't publicly take part in prayer, but they are here nevertheless. That is a very nice thing. Now, Luke 18, verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men, and that includes women, includes everybody, ought, that's a military term, required, always to pray and not to faint. We should always pray. And any time we find ourselves in a place where prayer is not convenient, we're in the wrong place. We should always pray. Ephesians 6 and 18, please. Paul there speaks and he says, praying always. We're always to pray. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, watch for every opportunity to pray with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I like that expression, for all. Whom are we supposed to pray for? Whom should we pray for? Our brother mentioned praying for the rulers that be. The Bible teaches that. You think of the little boy, you've heard the story. He went to bed that night and he prayed. Bless mommy, bless daddy, bless my sister Mary, bless me, us four and no more. Whom are we to pray for? All people. 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. We are to pray for all. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for whom? All men. When is the last time you prayed for Saddam Hussein? He's a man, and he surely needs it. And our president needs it, though he's got a difficult job. Pray for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. The president, his cabinet, his advisors, the governors, the mayors, the various councillors. Have you ever prayed for the police officer on the street? He's the person in authority. We need to pray for him too. It's a very dangerous job that he has. There he is standing, and the man comes up to him. He doesn't know what the man has in mind. He pulls out a gun and shoots him. And I've seen that in New York City. We are to pray for all in authority. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have whom? All men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants all men to be saved. We are to pray for all people. All men. Now there are certain... I didn't tell you what the definition of prayer is, did I? I told you what it's not. You don't. It's not asking for something. Prayer is reverent, working to God. That's prayer. Reverent. And that is very important. Reverent speaking to God. And there are various headings under prayer. There's thanksgiving. And the Bible has a lot to say about thanksgiving. We are so unappreciative, especially in this great nation that God has so blessed. We are so unappreciative. We need to give God thanks for everything. I think of a lady in New York City. I don't know what her spiritual beliefs were, but I know she used to get out and sing on the street. And she would just say, "Thank God for everything." And she would sing and sing and sing, "Thank God for everything." And we should be a thankful people. Then we should make intercession, as we have been reading. That is for other people, as we do judge by that prayer list. And finally, one aspect of prayer is what our brother George has been bringing before us, worship. Now, the word worship is a contraction of a larger word, worth-ship, the worth of the individual. Take out the TH and you have worship. And we should worship the Lord, His worth. What is, how worthy is He? Do you know anybody else whose blood can cleanse from sin? Well, that's good enough cause to worship Him. And therein there is another thing. We must not say prayers. Oh, I know some of you are looking at me. Don't say prayers. Pray. I remember when I was about 2 years old, my mother taught me some a prayer to say every night I went to sleep. And I dare some of you have were taught the same thing. "This night I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I was taught that at age 2. Then at age 5, I went to school. And for some unknown reason, the boys didn't take to me. And they would hit me and punch me. One of their favorites was to steal my pencils. And one evening I asked my mother, I said, "Mother, after I say the prayer that you taught me to say, can I pray for what I really need?" And now I remember what she said to me, "Arthur, you can always pray to the Lord for what you need." And then for a while I would pray what she taught me and then pray for what I needed. And after another while I dropped off the prayer that she taught me and prayed for what I need. Don't say prayers. Really pray. And again I want to say, if you find yourself in a situation where you cannot pray, you're in the wrong place. Wherever the believer is, prayer is in order. Turn with me, please. Oh, this is a favorite of mine. You've heard me speak of this before. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Pray. Let's start at verse 1. Pray in emergencies. It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, "Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lie waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Now notice verse 4. The king said unto me, what do you want? Now this was the king. And in those days, when the king asked you a question, you answered immediately or sooner. You didn't waste any time with the king. What do you want, Nehemiah? What did Nehemiah do? Read the next expression there. For what do you make request? So I pray to the God of heaven. I prayed to the God of heaven and I said, was that a long prayer? No, it couldn't be. It wasn't allowed. When the king answered you a question, you answered immediately or sooner. The king asked Nehemiah a question, he prayed, and then he answered the king. And when you find yourself in a difficult situation, pray and then answer. You apply for a job, and you're being interviewed, and they are firing a lot of questions at you. You're in school and you're taking an examination, and all the department heads are there firing questions at you. If they ask a question that seems a little difficult, pray and then answer, and it'll work. I remember a time in my experience, 100 of us were applying for 24 positions. How about it? My turn came to go in. And this man was asked to question me, and he looked at me as if he wanted to destroy me. And he looked and he asked a question. And with God's help, I answered the question 1, 2, 3. The one that was conducting the interview said, have you any more questions? He said, no, that's enough. You look to God in the tight moments. It's amazing how he will deliver you. As I said, you apply for a job. You're being tested in school. You know how they do for those advanced degrees. Get all these heads of departments around you firing questions at you. Before you answer, pray. It will work. It does work. Psalm 50, please. Verse 15. I think I've already spoken on that verse. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Having troubles? Having problems? Call upon the Lord, and he will deliver you. When is the time for prayer? All the time. Men ought always to pray. 2 Kings chapter 19. Now when you go home, I'm going to ask that you read chapter 18 and through chapter 19. I'm only going to call attention to one verse. 2 Kings chapter 19, did I say? Verse 14. Now you must know a little bit of the background. The Rabshakeh from Assyria was attacking Hezekiah and his subjects, the Israelites. And the Rabshakeh brought a very insulting letter, to Hezekiah. Read it when you get home. Your God can't help you against me. I have never lost a war, and I'm going to beat you. Now come to verse 19, or rather 14, I'm sorry, of chapter 19, 2 Kings. Hezekiah received the letter from the hands of the messengers and read it. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. That's what you do when they pester you and bother you and tease you and do everything to make you uncomfortable. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Verse 35. Oh, by the way, you know, in the history books, you read about this, about the king of Assyria challenging Hezekiah. But they never tell you what happened. The Bible is the only book that tells you what happened. And I have a fear that they're afraid to tell you what happened. But let's read what happened. Verse 35. It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. It came to pass as he was worshipping in the house of Nigak, his god, that Adramelech and Sherezar, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. You don't find that in the history books. They seem to be afraid to tell you what happened. But the Bible tells us what happened. That threatening letter. Hezekiah laid before the Lord. You have threatening problems? This nation is faced with a very threatening problem. That problem there in the Middle East with Saddam Hussein, and then in North Korea, and then in Saudi Arabia. The problems are, to say nothing of those in this land that would destroy us. What do you do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Lay it out before him. Prayer is a most powerful weapon. You know I'm finished. I have nothing more to say. That's the message. Shall we sing again, please, number 460. What a friend do we have in Jesus. All our guilts and problems to bear. We should always call upon him in every hour. Beloved, don't forget, we all have the privilege of prayer. Pray.